I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Okay, we couldn't come up with a good enough intro for this, so I think Shane's just going to grab something from the episode.
Oh.
No, we're grand. We'll do that. We'll do that at the end. We'll do the intro.
Wait,
at the end.
No, sorry. Mark seems like he has something.
Fork became a word in the dictionary in 2013, and selfie.
Oh. Yeah, I had that in the notes. Mm.
But first, let me take a selfie.
You're listening to Bandwagons.
Talking about things that other people are talking about.
Was that song came out that year, was it?
I don't know, actually. Probably the year after.
It was. I think.
I wouldn't say so. Hang on, I'll Google it. Chain smokers.
Selfie.
Chain smokers selfie. Hashtag selfie, guys. Come on, give it
a full
title.
2015.
So we're only 2 years off, but anyway. Right. We got our intro and that's all that matters.
Okay.
Welcome back to Bandwagons.
We are delighted to be joined by Michael O'Mark from Paper Tuesdays.
Yeah, we're finally outnumbered for Nuala.
Yeah, I don't know who's from Cork. We have to get the young grandmam lads on because I need backup here. Like,
Fionnuala's dad likes to tell her she has a gory accent whenever she's been spending too much time with me.
I do. It's the way I say certain things.
Really?
Like, I go real. I don't know. I don't notice it. I only notice when I say very specific things. But dad is like, oh, pure Wex. It's that when you're like, like that's how the sentences sound. In my head. Does that make sense? That's how brief.
No, not a bit.
I don't know what it sounds like. I wouldn't know what a Gory accent is.
Oh, like, I'll say something later and I'll have it in my, yeah. Or, oh, I wish your mom could come on the podcast right now because she is so like the cage.
My mom.
She's so Wexford, yeah.
It would be great to have her on.
I don't know. She said some dodgy shit.
Yeah, we couldn't have her on because we would be cancelled.
No, she's a liability.
And we don't have her on. Said, yeah, we have Michael O'Mark on for Paper Tuesdays for a special episode.
Do.
We're doing things a bit differently today. We decided to, maybe it'll be a recurring feature, depending on how successful this is. So, lads, don't be shite.
No pressure.
We gave the lads the choice of a year and we all said we'd pick something from the particular year in the realm of pop culture and we'd talk about it. Kind of reel in the ear style, as Breed said.
Yeah. Can I just say, I put this to the lads yesterday and I don't think I said this to Fionnuala, but they came back with the year 1996 first. And I was like, she's going to spit her tea out. And I was like, maybe... Could we pick a year that all of us were like older than two for and like Jesus our listeners Christ. Would actually remember?
You were like a lovely sister. You were kind of like, no guys, just tone it down. You can, you really can.
Oh, I know Michael gosh. Has a great memory, but there's no way he remembers 96.
Yeah, you were a few months older. Yeah, a
few months old. I experienced it. Yeah. Mayhem. I still haven't recovered.
Well, like we all experienced it. Our memories are just where the issue lies. And what was your second choice year, guys?
What about 2013 for personal reasons, didn't we, Mark?
Personal reasons, yeah. It was the year that me and Michael fell in love.
It was the year we met too. Oh, was it? Oh, yeah.
There you go.
What are the odds?
Wow.
Bandwagon is a paper chooses. It's our anniversary year. Wow.
Oh, guys. Oh. Yeah, what would that be in? How many years ago was that?
Paper. No.
If it was paper, it would be very apt. I feel like it's wood or something, is it? Or moss?
9 years. 8 years. It's probably.
Hang on, I'll Google it. Is it 9 years? Eight years.
I should say, while you're doing that. Wedding anniversary. Do you remember when we had Ian Dempsey on and he was like, I have a suggestion for an episode. And he said, you should get the alumni of the AA Roadwatch on.
Yeah.
Pretty sure Michael is the first of that list of people.
Oh my God.
There's been a two-car collision on the Ring of Skinny roundabout, Trevor Clare. Yeah.
Oh my God, say Lockatalia Road.
Lockatalia Road, approaching in at Lockhart. I actually got a tweet once. I used to be on at Lyric FM. And, you had to be nice and relaxed and refined for Lyric. And we got a tweet once to say that I had a lovely pronunciation of Galway. They like to
you do?
In Galway. So there you are.
Galway. It's very breathy. I like it. Whistle tones. I am sorry. The eighth wedding anniversary is bronze, which is nice.
Bronze.
Yeah. Happy Bronze Day, guys.
Thank you.
Happy.
Whip out the bronze.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well,
seeing as we're being so romantic, I wrote you a poem.
Oh,
I was genuinely going to ask you to write me a poem for Valentine's Day. Mark has written me two poems so far, and they've been cracker. So I'm excited for this.
I did. Reedy weedy lemon squeezy. I hope this gesture won't make you uneasy. The third poem that I have written. Am I a poet or am I smitten? I hope the wagons are keen to learn about 2016, the year that Gorey elected mayor, an large stick of margarine. Fionnuala, I want you to know, as this is our first time on your show, we promise to be respectful and not say queer 20 times in a row.
Oh.
Oh.
I love that.
Oh, wait. I can't clap because
my only gripe was that.
Beautiful. Thank you.
You said 2016 instead of 2013.
Yeah, that's not the year we're doing, though.
Oh, no.
It confused matters.
Yeah.
Maybe we should mention.
Maybe.
That's a soliloquy. Shane can edit that in post. He'll just come in and it'll just be his voice.
It'll be at Google Translate.
Yeah. Anyway, back to matters at hand.
Can I kick off?
Sure. Yeah.
Because I, in like proper reel in the year's fashion, I've just got some headlines from the year that I'm pretty sure none of us are going to cover, but they all happened that year just to set the scene. Okay. And then it kind of leads into like my one, if that's okay with everyone.
Well, we've done it anyway.
Okay, so just while I'm reading these, just picture that you're watching Rain in the Ears, that beautiful music is playing. There's like pictures flashing on the screen, all that. 2013, the year Fionnuala and I met. Super Bowl halftime was Beyonce with special guests Kelly Rowland and Michelle Williams. Nelson Mandela died on December 5th.
Oh, fuck! Why did you laugh? Second of all, that's so nice.
I didn't like line these up in order of seriousness, so they're like actually quite. Boston Marathon bombings happened. It gets better than worse. Birth of Prince George, Prince William and his wife Catherine welcomed their first son, the third in line to the British throne, on July 22nd. Corey Monty dies in Vancouver.
Where were you? I was at the Killers.
I was in the Gael Talks. I was very upset.
Where were you guys when Corey Monteith died?
Who is he?
Finn from
Forget
Glee.
Forget it. Next headline. Forget it.
On March 13th, Pope Francis became the first pope to emerge from Latin America.
Oh.
You're not going to like this one, Fionnuala. Actor Paul Walker was killed in a car crash on November 30th. Margaret Thatcher died in April.
Oh.
there were bonfires at all for Finn.
There was a lot of unusual baby names chosen that year. Channing Tatum had a daughter
for God
Everly.
Oh, I thought you were saying someone named their child, Channing Tatum. I was like, that's
no. Just... Channing and Jenna named their baby Everly. Josh Duhamel and Fergie welcomed a baby named Axel Jack. Jessica Simpson had her second child, Ace Newt. Kristen Bell gave birth to her daughter, Lincoln Bell. Elton John and Steve Martin became dads at older ages. I don't know if that makes any sense. Halle Berry gave birth to her son at age 47, which is insane. Chris and Caitlyn Jenner announced their separation, along with Julianne Hough and Ryan Seacrest, and George Clooney and Stacey Keibler. Liam Hemsworth and Miley.
George Clooney was married before Amal.
No, they just separated.
Oh.
Liam Hemsworth and Miley Cyrus broke up, and people were devastated when Orlando Bloom and Miranda Kerr announced that they would be separating after 3 years of marriage. Sad. This one is my favorite, and I'd never heard it before. Dennis Rodman became one of the few Americans to meet North Korea's dictator Kim Jong-un.
They're really good friends.
He loves basketball.
What?
Rodman,
yeah.
Jong-un.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Rodman, I'd never heard that. Some of the TV shows people were addicted to were Breaking Bad, House of Cards, Scandal, Arrested Development, and Orange is the New Black. Everyone was playing Candy Crush on their phones. And then we're kind of getting into what I've chosen. And it's the year 2013 proved that social media was here to stay for good and for not so good. Everyone started taking selfies. The word selfie became a thing. As Mark said, it's in the Oxford Dictionary now. And it was also twerk and derp were also added in. Derp I've never used in my whole life.
Derp is like
one of those
like yeah. It's like whatever the definition of is, like, it's that.
And I think 2013's biggest thing was the whole social media had on the charts for the first time that we had ever really seen. It's a very common thing now with TikTok and all, but I think this was like the first year we really saw social media like dictating what songs were at the top of the charts. But before that, can you guess what songs? It was a great year for pop music. Can you name any songs, Fionnuala, from that year?
Oh, I was literally just looking at this.
First year of college.
Lord.
Royals.
Yeah, Royals and Tennis Court.
Yeah. Justin Timberlake, Mirrors. Kanye West, Black Skinhead. Disclosure, When a Fire Starts to Burn. Arctic Monkeys, Do I Want to Know. Haim, The Wire. Katy Perry, Roar. Avicii, RIP, Wake Me Up.
RIP is right.
And this all came...
So many dead people.
Yeah. This all came off the back of Gangnam Style, which was 2012. So there were so many viral hits this year. To name them, Blurred Lines, Get Lucky, What Does the Fox Say, Harlem Shake.
Wow.
Lonely Island had a song with Adam Levine and Kendrick Lamar called YOLO. And
what? Kendrick Lamar?
Yeah. And the
Kendrick Lamar got a nice big fat bag for that, I'd say, and he was happy out.
Of course, the Taylor Swift Goat duet. Do you remember that?
What do you mean?
It was like, I knew you were trouble, but every time we went like, it was a goat.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that.
The Harlem Shake is what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about the Harlem Shake and What Does the Fox Say? So the Harlem Shake was an internet meme in the form of a video in which a group of people danced to a short excerpt of the song. The video was replicated by many people using the same concept, which led to it becoming viral in early 2013, with thousands of Harlem Shake videos being made and uploaded to YouTube every day at the height of its popularity. The meme usually featured participants performing flailing or convulsive movements. I don't think I ever did a Harlem Shake video.
I didn't either. Did you?
Yeah, I think we did. We did one for TG Catter. Do you remember?
Of course you did.
Yeah, there was a television recording for the GAA show, and all the GAA lads, 15 of us, did a load of random acts on the backfield. Yeah, TG Catter ran with it. They thought it was great. So, yeah.
I love how TG Catter were like, we need a Harlem Shake. Like, let's get the Gory Community School GAA team. Or was it Navena?
Oh, Gorick Food School, yeah. Eclectic bunch of people, yes, yeah. Young minds.
Where are my notes going?
Like, if you were a brand, you had to do the Harlem Shake. Like, that was the original of ever. That was a blueprint for so much of that. Like, that was the original TikTok, before TikTok was TikTok.
Yeah.
The Harlem Shake existed.
I vividly remember us, like, dancing to it in your apartment in college, but...
Sorry, I do think we did.
I don't think we ever posted it anywhere.
No, I do think we did, but I think that's lost to the in history. Thank God, says I. I kind of have a remember of Barra being in it.
Yeah,
I just remember Barra doing it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. This next one, The Fox, what does The Fox say? Was an electronic dance novelty song and viral video by Norwegian comedy duo Ylvis, I want to say.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It was the top trending video of 2013 on YouTube. It was posted on September 3rd, 2013 and has received 985 million views as of last month. The Fox peaked at the top of the Norwegian singles chart and was hugely successful in the US, where it peaked at number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100 for 3 consecutive weeks. It was the highest ranked song by a Norwegian artist on the chart since A-ha's number 1 to Take On Me in 1985, but then it was slowly like overtaken by Am I Wrong by Nico and Vince. Do you remember that one?
Am I wrong? Am I wrong? That's a good song.
That was a good song.
Where are they now? When are we doing the Nico and Vince episode?
Probably in Norway.
Probably in Norway, yeah.
So, you know, we fucked up. Now we're back in Norway.
You know you haven't made it when you're back in your homeland. Oh, sorry.
Jesus, Breed, you fucking stuck it in there.
Oh, no, watch this space. I'll be back there now. Yeah, apparently they created it like they put a teaser on YouTube and it was a video that was created to fail, and then it went viral. And then Ylvis had to come out and be like, yeah, we are not making an album, there'll be no other song, like this was never meant to be a thing.
But why did they do it then? What the fuck does it mean to create a song to fail?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
They wanted to have an anti-hit, I don't know.
No, I don't
think
that.
Damn catchy.
I think they released it and then they were mortal that everyone was like, what the fuck is this? And they were like, ah, we were obviously only messing.
Yeah.
Do you know? Like, mort.
That's like the Emily in Paris creator.
That's not true. She's lying.
It's not true now, but I really believe that because I don't.
For Christ's sake. It was this gal just tweeted being like, I'm the creator of Emily in Paris and I was only taking the piss, lol. And all the newspapers believed it.
Wow. BBC got onto her to interview her.
That's so embarrassing.
Like you covered how the tweet for about Kanye and the cheating. You could make up fake news Twitter easily. It's mad, isn't it? How it's a trend though.
There's probably a business in it now, like. You know, but even the stuff with, I don't know if you've seen any of the shit that's allegedly going to come out about Armie Hammer. Apparently there's this big story due
cannibalism
to break about him. No, but like apparently something like really, really bad is due to break on him this week. Like even worse than the shit that's already come out. And like some people have now started coming out being like, because he used to work in construction or something, or there was at some point during last year where he went away off working on a building site. I don't know, trying to get his fucking Aussie visa. I don't know. But he... Someone has just started tweeting or putting on Insta, basically being like, there were loads of bodies found by this building site that he used to work at. Like, I don't have any evidence, but suspicious. And like, it's being sent in his group chats being like, oh my God, imagine this is it. And it's like, this is, it's coming from fucking nowhere. Like.
Sorry, as you were saying that, I was believing it. And then you were like, I just remember that it's a point about fake news and how you shouldn't believe everything you hear.
Yeah.
That's what you were saying. I was like, oh my God, Armie Hammer is Ted Bundy.
he's a bad man, but I don't know.
How do we know though? We don't know that. I'll believe it when I see it.
That he's a bad man.
Mm. Have you checked, who's the big singer from America with the hat, the cowboy? Oh,
Garth Brooks.
Have you looked at the Instagram comments on his page?
No, right.
It's from this podcast called Your Mom's House, which is run by Tom Segura, who's a comedian in America. But he started a rumor that Garth Gates is a serial killer, or Garth Brooks.
You leave Garth Gates.
Garth Gates, for Christ's sake, leave that man rest.
All right, I'm starting.
He's not dead. He's just retired.
Yeah, but if you go look at his Instagram comments, they're all like, "Where's the bodies, Garth? I want my grandmother back. She just wants. We're worried about her. Is she okay?"
Jesus Christ, that's so grim. Oh my God.
I just love how much power we hold as a race that we can like we can do anything and people are choosing to like make up lies about Garth Brooks and like get all their followers to attack him.
We could probably solve world hunger and climate change. And we're like, you know what? Halfway on Brooks. The old keyboard. Fuck Garth Brooks. I can't believe he did that to us. There you go. Oh, God.
I had a little bit on blurred lines as well, but I actually don't think I want to lower the tone.
Can we not?
Basically, it was the year Miley Cyrus made her comeback. She made twerking a thing because of the blurred lines performance with Robin Thicke.
She didn't make twerking a thing, but she brought it
like to the pop, the mainstream pop culture.
She appropriated
at that
twerking.
Time. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And also Wrecking Ball happened. Mm. Wrecking Ball was such a huge thing.
Yeah.
That album deserves more respect, in my opinion.
So that's what I have about.
Or was that her comeback from her breakdown?
Who?
Miley.
That was her comeback from her divorce, probably. If they broke
she
up
no, late. Sure, they hadn't gotten divorced. They weren't, they'd just broken up.
Oh.
They weren't married at this stage.
Oh, so they got back together after this?
Yeah. Okay. Like in 2019 and then broke up in 2020.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I stood on my headphones. Save it for the Miley episode.
Okay. You brought it up. I will say you did bring it up. Sure. We can do that. That's fine.
Yeah, I picked that topic because I really thought Gangnam Style happened that year, and then upon further inspection realized
Really good.
So
it's really good that you did that, and then
that's
just
why I fluffed it out with all those other headlines.
That's why
I wanted to go first. So who wants to go next?
Jesus Christ, lads.
Let one of the lads go.
Rob Ford, who was the mayor of either Toronto or Ontario, some Canadian city, and he was caught smoking crack cocaine in a hotel room, and a video came out about it, and he just openly admitted it in the press. And he was also accused of different things like having an affair, and I don't know how vulgar does this podcast get, but he was accused of inducing an act on a lady, and then he said he had plenty to eat at home to a press conference.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the mayor.
Oh yeah, sorry, I watched it. No, basically he's like, I've been accused. Yeah, he in the press conference, he was like, I've been accused of like cheating on my wife and saying that I was eating someone's pussy, but like, it's grand, I've loads to eat at home. Or I was like, I'm happily married and I've loads to eat at home. And it's publicly said this. 2013 was a time.
I think he also charged a lady in like a debate. He like ran at her.
And he was a big man.
He was a big man.
Well, see, he was mayor for all of that.
Yeah, he was mayor for all of that. And like, there's a clip on YouTube of him just apologizing for like 4 minutes straight. He's like, I'm sorry. Once again, I am sorry. Making all these public apologies. But I think he's dead now. So my story's sad too.
Yeah. Fucking hell. I think that must have been a bigger thing over. I'd never heard of him. Fanula had. And then when I looked
couldn't
him up
remember.
Today,
and then when, and then when you sent the clip, I was like, oh, yes, I vaguely remember this.
Yeah. And then I looked him up and there was like an SNL sketch about him. And I was like, oh, this must have been huge.
Suppose you'd just be texting about him, that type of thing, was it?
Hmm?
I think you're just texting about him in school days. That was kind of the big deal, wasn't it? How someone, our school days were a bit bad altogether. We thought, we were thinking back on those days and training in the muck out in the pitch. And what was it like for you in college, like, or what?
Michael has flipped this back on us. We are his guests now.
he owns bandwagons.
No, I like this. Tell me,
how did you know if something was big, like, or how we talked about news?
No, where were you in 2013? Like,
where was I in 2013? We were just starting college, so I did journalism, and that was it. Like, a lot of drinking, a lot of fucking eating pizza, a lot of getting a lot of free pizza places, and. But living in Dublin for the first time, absolutely traumatized after viewing it as this like metropolitan, mad, like sophisticated place, and then moving here and being like, this is interesting.
I lived in Fionnuala's pocket for the 3 years from like when we met, and I saw college and DCU in like vivid colors. Like it was like I was on a high for 3 whole years, and I didn't realize until when we came out of college that Fionnuala fucking hated every second of it. And we had the exact same experiences, so it was weird. But where were you? Were you doing the Leaving Cert?
We weren't leaving.
Fifth or sixth year.
Sorry, are you children? What?
They're the same age as you.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah. That's fair. I skipped TY.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, okay.
See, we found ourselves. So.
I didn't need to find myself. She was there all along, right? That's what I told my teachers anyway.
Like 2013, Michael doesn't drink, but I drank for the both of us in 2013. So in Gorey, we had Thirsty Thursdays. Breed Bidupin out for them.
Yeah. Rough.
They were a sort of passage, rite of passage, I suppose, like for most people our age in Gorey. You get €2 vodkas, and there was no limit on how much you could order at once. So you could go up, give your man a tenner, and get 5 vodkas in a glass and just go drink it on the street every Thursday night.
Yeah, they've cancelled them now. Like, they had to ban it. It got really bad. Do you know what I actually remember from 2013 was when Blurred Lines came out? Do you know that video where it's just like all the girls and they're up against the wall, just like not moving, they're like the straightest faces and their shoulders are just like, I thought that was the coolest, hottest thing ever. And I have vivid memories of me in 02, like the nightclub in Gorey, up against the wall. I was like, everybody out of the way. And I was just like staring around, just watching and shimmying. And it was so embarrassing.
Yeah, you really tried to make that a thing.
I did.
It went well for you.
I tried to make my own fun. I don't drink, you see, and it was at an 18th, and it was a little bit low crack, and I pretended to be drunk, and at the end they just said, Michael, just fuck off.
Oh my God.
Not the best actor.
Fanula, what's your pick from 2013?
So guys, what will I start with? Will I start with Everyone Hating Anne Hathaway or Sharknado?
Oh, Sharknado.
Oh, Sharknado.
Okay. So we have a few quizzes, but I'll brief you on what Sharknado was. So the clue's in the name. It was a movie about a tornado that also had sharks in it, devastating a town. The franchise made up of 6 movies, ended in 2018, RIP. It started as like an inside joke. So it was like a thing the creators were talking about before. So it was a made-for-TV movie, came out on Sci-Fi.
Sorry, was this one of those things where it's like, oh, I made it as a joke?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But apparently. So this is Thunder Levin, who wrote it. Incredible name. He said, there's this town in the movie he's referencing another sci-fi movie that's called Leprechaun's Revenge, which I think we should also do for Movie Club as well as Sharknado. And he said, there's this town in the movie that's, I guess, being besieged by leprechauns. And somebody says, gosh, I hope we don't go the way of that other town. They never recovered after the Sharknado hit. And then basically they were like, ha, that's gas. We should make a movie called Sharknado. And they did. But it was like insanely, insanely popular for a made-for-TV movie. Like they had to keep ordering reruns of it. So who is it? We have Tara Reid. Obviously, she plays April. She's married to Finn, who is played by Ian Ziering, who's from Beverly Hills 90210. And like the success of it was just insane. Like on the night that it aired, there was like 5,000 tweets per minute about it. Celebrities fucking loved it. It was bananas, absolute bananas. Right. I wanna go into my first quiz, right? So I want you, it's going to be Paper Tuesdays versus Bandwagons, and Breed is going to represent Bandwagons, obviously.
Oh.
So as I mentioned, there are 6 movies. The first one was obviously called Sharknado, but I need you all to name the others. So Breed, what was the second Sharknado movie called?
It's definitely going to be like a typical sequel title, like Sharknado 2, Electric Boogaloo. Sharknado 2, this time it's personal.
Okay, that was incorrect. It was Sharknado 2, the second one. So you are currently nil for nil. Paper Tuesdays, what was Sharknado 3 called?
Mark, Sharknado 3, the third one.
That is incorrect. The third Sharknado movie was actually called Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no. So we're nil all, guys, halfway through.
Dripping.
Breed, what was the fourth Sharknado movie called? I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to give you a hint because you are representing the podcast that I also caused.
Bullshit.
Think Star Wars.
Sharknado 4, The Tide Awakens.
You're so close, but you are wrong. So it was Sharknado, The Fourth Awakens. Get it?
Oh. It was right there.
It was right there, and yet you didn't get it right. The Tide Awakens. Okay, the fifth one in which Tara Reid dies. I should have said spoiler. Spoiler.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Our Tari dies, but they bring her back because they realize there's time travel again. Sorry, spoiler. I'm watching this. Paper Tuesdays. What was Sharknado 5 called? It has something to do. I'll give you a hint as well because I think that's unfair. Anywhere, I guess. Mm-hmm. Something to do with climate change. Love dead air, guys.
Five.
I appreciate how seriously you're taking this.
No. Sharknado 5, the one where the star dies.
That is unfortunately incorrect. It was Sharknado 5, global swarming.
Oh, so close.
And then finally, Breed, you could win with this, right? Or actually, sorry, I leave it open and I'll leave you both guess, right?
Okay.
So this was the last one. So Sharknado 6, what was it called?
I'm going to go first. I'm going to say Sharknado 6, time to say goodbye.
Close, but not close enough again, I think.
Sharknado 6, the final chapter.
No, guys, unfortunately, it was the last Sharknado. It's about time. So...
Oh.
So no winners there. But luckily, I actually have another quiz, which I'm more excited about. And it's... okay, so actually, I'll give you the choice again. So I have... we know how long you'd survive in Sharknado, or... Sharknado plot point or real life shark encounter? What do we want?
Oh, I like the sound of the second one, but let's give it to
guys.
The
Mike, glad I should pick epic last one.
Well, go for the second one. Scoring 16. Yeah.
Okay. Sharknado plot point or real life shark encounter from Time Magazine. Excellent. Okay. Question number one. After sustaining a shark bite on his foot, a man escapes death by punching the shark twice in the face. Was that real life or the Sharknado movie, Breed?
I'd say that's real.
That is correct. It was real life. Number two, Paper Tuesdays. After a huge wave thrusts a shark onto a boardwalk, a man kills it with the stool he had been sitting on. Was this real life or was it Sharknado movie?
Sharknado movie.
That is correct. Would you believe? So one all. Question three, Breed. A shark stranded in the middle of a road is run over and killed by an ambulance. Was this real life or was this the Sharknado movie?
I'm going to say real life. It sounds like the start of a sum.
Incorrect, I'm afraid. Oh. That was the Sharknado movie. So, guys, you have a chance to take the lead here with question number four. Airborne sharks are killed by bombs dropped from a helicopter. Was that the Sharknado movie or was it real life?
Sounds like real life. Oh, do you? Yeah,
Sharknado, I think.
Sharknado.
You were going to go with me there. Follow
you
me.
You are correct. So it's 2-1 to Paper Tuesday's Breed. Let's bring it back with question five. A pod of dolphins creates a protective shield around a group of swimmers to save them from attack by an encroaching shark. Was this real life or was this the Sharknado movie?
I would say dolphins are vicious too though. I'm going to say real life.
You are correct. Ooh. Could she bring this back? Who knows? Question six for Paper Tuesdays. A group of golfers happens upon a golf course water hazard infested with man-eating sharks. Is this real life or is this the Sharknado movie?
We'll go with the movie, yes. Sharknado movie.
I don't know, man. I've seen some weird shit down at the K Club, but anyway. Sharknado movie, final answer?
Yes, yes, yes.
Incorrect!
Oh my God, did I win?
No, it's 2-2.
Oh.
We were on 7 out of 10, sorry. Okay, Breed. A dangerous shark is killed on air on network television. Sharknado or real life?
Can you hear my housemates shouting?
I can, yes.
So inconsiderate. I'm going to say real life.
Incorrect. Sharknado movie. So you stay on 2 points. Guys, to take the lead once again, this is the third last question. A child's severed arm is retrieved from inside of the shark who ate it, then reattached to his body. Sharknado movie or real life?
I think that's real life.
Go for it. Real life.
That is correct.
Hardly.
3-2. We are on the last question and I have no tiebreaker, so I'm not really... Oh, no, sorry. We're on the second last question. So last question for each of you. I have no tiebreaker, though. So if you tie, everyone's a winner. Okay? So, Breed. A man kills a shark from the inside using a chainsaw. Is this real life or is this the Sharknado movie?
That's the Sharknado movie. How did he get in there with a chainsaw?
Correct. Who cares? I'm not even explaining the point of Sharknado. Like, there's, just watch it. Last question. After a ship is destroyed by torpedoes, sharks devour nearly 600 of the passengers thrown into ocean waters. Paper Tuesdays. For the win, is this Sharknado movie or is it real life?
Jeez, that could be real life.
Sharknado movie.
Right, we'll go with you. All right, we'll go.
Sharknado movie.
Sharknado. Final answer?
Final answer.
Oh, mate, you were wrong.
You.
Are you doing the quiz? She's doing the quiz as we're answering, are you?
I'm so sorry. Yeah, of course I am. I'm already going to pre-vet the quiz. I wasn't going to do that level of prep. Right, guys. So unfortunately, it is a tie. So we're going to have to figure out who's the best podcast some other way. Maybe some form of wrestling. I don't know. Anyway, the other thing that I want to say about Sharknado is there is an article that I found from the Los Angeles Daily News that says, Sharknado, can it happen? Science says maybe. I'm actually not going to go into how, because I don't want to know, but apparently I can. I will say, sorry, as I read this article now, this information is coming from the Insurance Information Institute. And it says a theoretical Sharknado would be covered by insurance, according to several consumers. So there you go. A real life Sharknado wouldn't make history. Since time immemorial, frogs, fish, crabs, and even small sharks have been sucked up from the sea and tossed ashore miles inland, largely because of water spouts. So there you go. But apparently it's slightly unrealistic because sharks are
really
heavy.
Yeah.
It would take a massive water spout of more than 250 miles per hour to generate the updraft needed to suck Great Whites out of the Pacific Ocean and dump them into LA. So not to worry, guys. We are grand. That will be happening in 2021.
What about like a Dolphinado?
A Dolphinado? I would say more possible because they are lighter. And yeah. More evil.
Maybe that's what happened, fungi.
Maybe it is, yeah. I'm not ready to talk about that. I'm still upset. Save it for the fungi episode.
Incredible.
Guys, what's your next topic?
Yeah, Pat Kenny. That's my topic. I just...
Really interesting. What was he up to in 2013? By chance?
This is the year that we moved the dial and he went to News Talk.
Of course. Yeah.
Lula should know that. She used to work for News Talk.
I did, yeah. I met him in 2013. He's very, very nice. Very nice man. Very polite.
Oh, right. Did you see the photo of him from 1970s there? And he's wearing a lovely little jumper and you'd want to look it up. It's in the RT archives there. It was on Twitter.
You'll have to send it on to us for the socials just so we can paint that picture for the people.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me more about Pat in 2013 and moving the dial.
Yeah, I was looking up what happened in 2013. So I went to the Irish Times and the best of articles. And this was a key event. It changed the landscape of Irish radio. And, things just haven't been the same since.
He's still there, is he?
Yeah.
He's still there, yeah.
They literally haven't
been, nothing but the same. His company made something like 1.5 million or something. So he's not too bothered by leaving the Montrose. So, yeah.
I know, I'd say he's on the big bucks. What can you tell us from the inside, Fionnuala?
I can't tell you anything, and I really wish this line of questioning would stop because I could get in trouble. He's really nice. Am I correct in saying, Michael, that you think he's the best Late Late presenter of all time?
Oh, this came up on a previous podcast. No, I had a controversial answer for that one. Do you think he's the best ever?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I just think he's the best at anything ever. He's my favorite. I love his voice. He laughs.
Michael, I love how you nicely deflected away there from your controversial answer. Do I want to continue with this line of questioning or?
Okay, yeah. Dermot Garrity is going to be the best Late Late Show host. Oh. I'm a big fan. Yeah. And Dermot said it in an interview once that maybe bandwagons could be massive news.
They'd never let the
We're more of
on.
A Graham Norton, Alan Carr situation, I feel.
Like, it'd be too much
of a 6 o'clock show vibe, maybe.
6 o'clock show.
Or like the Today Show. Like,
Nationwide at a push.
I love that format, like where you're just sitting on a couch and people are telling you things. They could be telling you anything. Do you know what I mean?
Mara and Doughty, you could replace them anyway.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Long overdue.
It's meant to happen. Yeah.
So, Dermot Garrity is your favourite Late Late Show host, even though it hasn't happened yet. On another timeline.
That's a compliment.
She will love that.
He uses it externally.
Listen, you put it out into the world, you never know.
That's it.
Do you remember when he came in? Was it the toy show he came in on an elephant for? Did we talk about that before?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Oh, and he made tea with a nun on the Late Late, didn't
he? That's been on Reading in the Weird there. We saw that. Yeah, coffee. And she made a cappuccino.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he was getting a little bit impatient now, but he enjoyed the coffee anyway, yeah.
I would love, you know me, I'm all about eating the rich, but I would say I would love another Celtic Tiger. But like everyone has the money, you know, and just so we could have a laugh and like we'd have the elephants again, you know. So I'd like, do you know what? Just for like a day. I think that would be, I'd like a good laugh.
It's possible, you know? Though. I think we could see another boom.
Yeah. No, like financially, I'm sure. Yeah. But like probably not for everyone though. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Oh. Like I'd like to spread the wealth, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Do you not like that? Do you like capitalism?
I don't like what I'm saying. I think a boom can happen where an elephant does return to RTE. That's the scenario.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought I was hearing you say that you hated poor people. Okay. I was just checking.
Elephants for everyone.
Elephants for everyone. Yeah, that'll be in the next budget if we have our way. What was your next topic, Breed?
Oh, I only picked one.
Oh, you only picked one?
Yeah.
Oh, well, now my one is so shit to end on because it's about everybody hating Anne Hathaway.
No, I have mini bandwagons, so you can go for it. Let's talk about Anne Hathaway.
Okay, in 2013.
Yeah.
In 2013, can I ask here, did anyone hate Anne Hathaway? And if you did, can you explain why? Why did you hate Anne Hathaway?
I genuinely, the girls watched Princess Diaries again the other day. And we were sitting there and we were like, this doesn't even register in my brain as Anne Hathaway, like the person I'm seeing on screen right now. Because we adore the Princess Diaries and Mia Thermopolis, but it's not Anne Hathaway. And then I feel like everything from 2013 onwards, it was just Anne Hathaway. And I don't know why everyone hated her. It was because, was that the year she won the Oscar for Les Mis?
Yeah.
For like all of 8 minutes or whatever. Which she did a great job, but I don't know.
When you hear about what she had to do, like, because this was the whole thing. Stuff. Like, yeah, but like, so this was the thing. There was like a whole fucking, someone wrote in this blog about this gal, Alexis Rhiannon, wrote in this blog saying, there's something about her that rubs me the wrong way. I feel like she's not a real person. Someone said for the New Yorker, just was like, why is she so annoying? The San Francisco Chronicle called her the most annoying celebrity of 2013. She had her own, like, you know, the way celebs have like fandom names. She had a fandom name she obviously didn't give it to them, but like they crowned themselves the Hatha Haters. And like it was for this, like, it wasn't just the Les Mis thing, but it was like her speech, people fucking hated that because, you know, the way obviously she sings I Dreamed a Dream.
Yeah.
Like she went up to accept the award and she was like, it came true. And people are like,
that's going to be me though. I'll go up and quote some weird musical whenever
you will. And everyone's going to hate you. And like,
everyone's going to hate me.
Yeah, and your hater, what are your haters going to be called?
The
has to be something to do with brown or breed.
Breed bashers.
Breeding hate.
Breed bashers.
Breed bashers is better.
Yeah. What did you say?
Breeding hate. That's not really as good. that's a
bit dark.
For months, I wanted to change my name online to just keep breeding, and Fanula absolutely told me not to, or she wouldn't speak.
I really had to keep talking her down. Like, it was not good. It was really, really not good. But then she came out after and basically said that she actually wasn't really happy, and she said she kind of lost her mind doing the movie because she had to lose 25 pounds because obviously Fantine is fucking
Fantine.
What did I say?
Fantine.
Is it not Fantine?
It's Fantine. It's French.
Oh, all right, fucking yeah. Anyway, so she had to literally eat only porridge to become her and whatever. And she said, like, she was just so miserable, so she was trying to pretend to be happy, and she said it backfired anyway because people just absolutely fucking hated her. And it was just really sad, and it was just like internalized misogyny was a big thing because it was weird because Jennifer Lawrence was really having her moment that year as well, and it felt like it was like Jennifer Lawrence, she's so relatable, she's falling upstairs, she wants food at award ceremonies, haha, gas. And then Anne Hathaway was just like, just wanted to do her fucking job, and it was like, yeah. Oh, you bitch. Now, she did also say, she said she cried watching back her performances in Les Mis, which I'm a bit like,
it's a sad movie.
But I think that was the point she was trying to make. But I think people took that as she was crying. She was so moved by her own performance, which I just don't think anyway. Anne Hathaway is my boyfriend's like hall pass. He fucking
what?
In Cian Roach's house, you will not say a bad word against Anne Hathaway. I actually really like Anne Hathaway. What are you trying to say about Cian?
No. I don't know. I just feel like she's very tall. Why I definitely hated her at the time. Do you know what I didn't like about her? It was swiftly moving on. When she tried to like branch into comedy with like Get Smart with Steve Carell and all, like I had no time for that.
Get Smart is a good movie.
I've never seen it.
Have you seen Get Smart, guys?
Yeah, I remember seeing it, but I don't remember much about it.
That was a great film.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I really enjoyed it. Big Steve Carell fan.
Steve Carell. You can't go wrong with that.
And maybe it is internalized misogyny, but.
Now, do you know what I also don't think helped? The 2011 Oscars, because they were bad. She hosted with James Franco and it was like...
Oh, really awkward.
Yeah, like one of the worst in history.
Yeah.
I do feel like she was also maybe a bit overexposed. So I think people just got sick of her. You know, if celebs are in too much shit, they're just immediately like,
yeah,
I hate this. But yeah.
Anyway,
she's happy out now. She's had a baby and... is doing whatever she's doing.
She's a big ally as well. She loves the gays. Yep, the gays.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. What were you all doing in 2013? The wrong things. Hating Anne Hathaway, watching Sharknado, following Pat Kenny's Journey to News Talk, laughing at Robert Ford, and asking what does the fox say? That was 2013.
That was beautiful.
You're so welcome.
Do we want mini bandwagons?
We do, yeah, we do.
Okay. I had loads of these. Let me think. Okay, I'm going to save some for next week. So, how am I going to phrase this? Do you remember when I went through my Lost phase, Fanula?
Yeah.
When they put Lost on Virgin Media Player and I...
Oh, yeah.
It's like only about 2 years ago and I'd never seen it before.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't finish Lost because it's a waste of time, but they have a thing on Amazon Prime now called The Wilds, and it's kind of like if you cross Lost... It's like Lost for teenage girls.
Did we not talk about this the other day that it was like highly, highly recommended, or was it The Boys?
No, The Boys.
Well, anyway, I'd kind of heard the same vibes about The Wilds, that it was like class, but...
It's not class, but Hilda and Quiva had watched it and they were on to me to watch it. So I binged it over the weekend and it's good. Like it's these, it's probably like 8 teenage girls who are on the way to like a feminism retreat and their plane crashes. And
Jesus,
they're stranded on an island, but like all is not what they seem. Like maybe they were meant to end up on this island, and it's a bit like weird, and there's lots of twists in it. It's good. Okay. You should probably hate it, lads. I don't know. It's not like it's very like Pretty Little Liars kind of vibes.
Okay.
If they were stuck on an island.
Interesting. So that's The Wilds, and that's on Amazon Prime. If people want to watch that.
Reply All Test Kitchen. Have you listened to this yet? I feel
I haven't, but it is severely on my list.
Like, this is where our two worlds collide, I feel like, because I am the biggest Reply All fan. Mark,
I'm
I feel
so
like
glad that
it.
They are doing this. Like, yeah. It's
a podcast. It's made by Gimlet. It's PJ Vogt and Alex Goldberg or something. And they basically just make like episodes about things that are happening on the internet, but they're like really interesting. And they had the episode that got me in was they were getting like these calls from a call center in India, and they kept answering and recording and like chatting and like building up relationships with the people calling them. And it got like, it's over like two or three episodes where they actually go to India and turn up at the call center and like bang down the door. And they're like, why do you keep calling me? Like, what do you want from me? It's very good. But yeah, you would like it.
Yeah.
But they have a new series now on this whole BA Test Kitchen.
Yeah. So thank God we did not do an episode on Bon Appetit, because we came close so many times. And then they were basically like, there was a lot of shit came out about it being like a really problematic workplace and a lot of like race related shit and just really nasty, not good shit. But this podcast basically explores all that and why it went kind of so wrong and how the culture became in the test kitchen, because it was like this beloved online internet series with these internet personalities that people loved. You're talking into the millions of views, probably tens of millions. And had like huge stars in its own right, and now it's just like gone overnight. They've tried to kind of keep it up or whatever. It's probably only going to be of interest if you intently follow the BA Test Kitchen, but I know a lot of people who listen to us did. But as you said, anything Reply All does is always going to be of good quality. So even if you don't know, it's probably in an interesting, I don't want to say a good story because like it's a grim story, but it's an interesting enough story to get into, I think.
Yeah, and it's not PJ and Alex either. It's Shruti Pinnamaneni is hosting this series, and she's excellent. She's done a lot of she's like a reporter for Reply All, and she's excellent, and she's a really good way of like interviewing people. So give that a listen if it takes your fancy. And then finally, do you remember the whole like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire cheating scandal?
Yes.
I finally watched the drama series about it. Have you
Quiz.
Seen? You watched it last year. So
I watched it during lockdown, fucking 2.5 or something.
RTE were airing it in the last couple of weeks. It's all on the player now. I have one episode left. No spoilers, please. But it's excellent.
No spoilers, she says. Happened in real life, but okay.
Michael Sheen as Chris Tarrant is
haunting.
Something else. Like, give him the Oscar.
Haunting.
Have either of you watched it, lads?
When did this happen? No, I've never heard of this.
Oh, remember, you should watch it. It's very good.
In like 2003, this lad got caught out for cheating on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire because he won the million, but every time he had like his wife and another guy.
The coughing thing.
Yeah, the coughing thing. He had them helping him in the audience, and he'd rub his ear if he didn't know, and they'd cough like as many coughs as the answer was or whatever.
And even at the time, it was after the fact, like he got the million and then...
It was kind of like, when you watch the series, it's kind of like his brother-in-law was like mad into it and was like trying to get on the show loads. And then his wife had been on the show, and then they kind of put him on the show. So they were like, the producers and all were very suspicious of them because they were so into it. And then he came on, and it was kind of one of those things where they ran out of time after his first like four questions, and he'd used two of his lifelines, and it didn't look like he was going to do very well. And he came back the next day and did like guessed his way to a million, basically. So they were kind of like watching him the whole way through, and it's the court case and behind the scenes, and it's really good.
Watch it and then watch. I think the because ITV did a documentary about it after the fact as well, and I think that's on YouTube. Yeah. So watch Quiz on the RT player and then watch the documentary.
Yeah.
That's for, I'm saying that to the lads, and I'm saying that to anyone listening. So
do you have anyone have any additional mini bandwagons to throw into the pot? Anything you're watching, anything you listen to that you would recommend from any time or place?
No, I started rewatching The Office again. That's why I brought up Steve Carell. I've actually watched it from start to finish twice already, and now I'm doing it, I think, for the third time. So
yeah. I watched it for the first time during lockdown one, and dehydrated myself crying at Jim and Pam. Like, just I actually don't think I can ever watch it again because I'll just upset myself. It's unreal. I tell you what though, and I don't think I've ever admitted this, but I did stop watching after Steve Carell left. Should I watch the
newer ones?
Series after? Yeah.
No, not really.
Okay, so I'm not missing it. That's fine. That's all I need to know.
I started rewatching it recently as well. I'm on like season 4, but actually one of my other mini bandwagons that I chose to not do is the Office Ladies podcast. There's Jenna Fisher and Angela, I don't know her surname, but she plays Angela in the show, are basically doing a rewatch podcast where they like talk about behind the scenes and what it was like to make each individual episode. But I haven't listened to it yet, so that's why I was going to talk about it next week instead. Maybe I will.
Kevin is doing, so he did like an anthology kind of, anthology is the wrong word, but it was like a podcast exclusively for Spotify where it was like kind of the same thing, but it was like kind of the lore behind The Office and all the trivia. It wasn't necessarily a rewatch podcast. But now I think he's doing another podcast, which I think is a rewatch podcast that is coming soon or is maybe already currently out, just if anyone is looking for that.
I heard it here first.
You heard it here first. It's not an exclusive.
Earlier, have you seen Call My Agent?
No. I have seen people talking about this on Twitter and I've been intrigued. What is it about and would I enjoy it?
Yes, you would enjoy it. I loved it. Now, I didn't watch much of Emily in Paris, but I don't think I'd watch any of it. But this is subtitled and it is gripping. I didn't think, I don't watch a lot of series, but I loved it. I just basked in it. It follows this young agent and it turns out that, oh, I don't want to give too many spoilers away now, but there's family connections in the business and it's you get a sense of the acting world and what it's like to be an agent, you know, that they're on 24/7 and it's just it's an industry where there's so much drama. It's a beautiful watch. I enjoyed it.
And where can people watch that?
That's on Netflix.
Yeah, I've seen people like Jen Gannon and stuff, I think, tweeting about it, and maybe Myrna O'Connell, and I trust them about TV, so I think I'm gonna put it on the list. I'm gonna put it on my very, very long list at this point. I need to finish Housewives.
It's been a year. We said last March we bumped into Louise McSharry at a Reeling in the Years quiz, actually, and we said, will you come on and do a Real Housewives episode? And she's like, absolutely. So then we started to watch Real Housewives. And it's nearly March and Fionnuala is still chucking away.
There are 10 seasons of it and 21 episodes each season.
I watched it in 12 weeks, which was, I gave up a lot of my life.
I cannot. I will get there. And we will do our lovely.
It'll happen at some point.
It is very
guys, good. Where can people find out more about yourselves and Paper Tuesdays? And what is Paper Tuesdays for the uninitiated?
We still don't know. Yes, this is last time. We're not really sure what it is. It's a podcast where we used to do certain things and then we done other things and now we're trying to do the things we used to do again.
Interesting.
Breed credited our interview with Brendan Kelly. That was a cracker. But we've had Keith Walsh to FM, who ye had on afterwards, and
so you're just saying we're copying ye? Is that
it? You had me. I was on it.
Well, we had Bree Brown's episode on. Yeah.
I don't know who's she.
Her means first one to me. More, they're fantastic episodes. We are just churning out the content every Tuesday on Spotify and wherever you get the podcasts.
There you go, and they're also on the socials at Paper Tuesdays.
Bree, the housekeeping.
Dublin show. Tickets are on sale from tickets.ie.
November 4th. It's Thursday. It's our last, it's the only Dublin show that still has tickets available. They are flying way faster than I thought they would be. So don't leave it till
we're not announcing. There'll be no other shows after this. So, not this year. There will be eventually shows again. But
and if you want to go see us in 2021,
you need to get tickets. So there are tickets available, as Bree just said, for Cork and Dublin from tickets.ie.
Yep, I'm still accepting online dating stories, but this is genuinely the last week. Like, we are doing it next week. Yeah. So please email me those.
Yeah, make sure they're not shy. make sure they're good. We are on Patreon for Movie Club this week. We did Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging.
Yeah, one of us is a frigid. You have to tune in to find out which one.
Yeah, you'll never guess. You'll never guess. We are Bandwagons Podcast everywhere on social media. If you don't already follow us on Spotify, please do, because you'll be alerted to new episodes. Leave us a review on Apple, but only if it's nice. I've been Fionnuala.
I've been Breed.
Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.